If you still have that Bible in hand, I'd like to encourage you to open it this morning to the gospel reading, as we will be taking a closer look at the life of Jesus when he was just 12 years old. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father, here and now, on the second weekend of the new year, we just ask your blessing as we rest in your grace and in your word. We ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, kingdom without end. Amen. Christmas is followed up by a season called Epiphany. Today is the first Sunday in Epiphany. It's a season that lasts all the way up to the Transfiguration Sunday. And after Transfiguration Sunday, we have Ash Wednesday, and the Lenten season begins. Epiphany is kind of like a revelation, an understanding. That's why it's called the Epiphany season. Now, nobody brings it out better than the gospel writer of St. Luke. Now, Luke presents the baptism of John the Baptist, the angel coming to Mary, Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, and the birth of Jesus. 8 days later, Luke records the circumcision of Jesus. From Bethlehem, they journeyed to Jerusalem. 40 days later, we have the presentation of the baby Jesus in Jerusalem. That means the first male child that opens the womb has to be redeemed, both man and animals, because they are the Lord's. And so Mary and Joseph journey once again to Jerusalem and present Jesus. And remember the scene, Simeon, the elderly man at the temple, holds the baby Jesus, and he reveals the Epiphany. He says, "Lord, now your servant can depart in peace, because according to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared for all people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." Simeon makes it clear the Epiphany is that the baby Jesus is the Savior for everyone. And remember in the story, Anna, an elderly woman of 84, is in the temple, and baby Jesus, she sees and praises God. Now it is Mary and Joseph, after this, they race to Egypt because of King Herod, who wants to kill all the babies in Jerusalem. And after King Herod dies, they go to the area of Galilee, which is north of Jerusalem, and they reside in a little village called Nazareth. And for many, many years, they go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. They go to Jerusalem for the big festival called Passover. It is Luke that picks up the story when Jesus is 12 years old. Those of you who are older than 12, can you remember 6th grade or 7th grade and your mindset? But before we get to this story, I just want to remind you that Mary and Joseph do the right stuff. They make sure Jesus is circumcised. They make sure Jesus is presented in the temple. They make sure that Jesus goes to the synagogue. They make sure that Jesus celebrates the festivals. They make sure that Jesus at age 12 is being prepared for his bar mitzvah, which happens at age 13. The reason I bring this up is because as Christians, Christian parents and grandparents, your parents did the right stuff with you, and you've done the right stuff with your children, as I have done. You make sure they're baptized, the sacrament of baptism. You make sure they come to the church and worship. You make sure they go through confirmation and eventually celebrate the Lord's Supper, the fulfillment of the Passover meal. As Christians, we too learn from Mary and Joseph that it's important you do the right stuff. Not that that earns salvation, no. But it's part of God's plan of salvation that we as a church, we as a group of believers, are devoted to do the right stuff. Well, let's take a closer look at Mary and Joseph and Jesus walking to Jerusalem. 3 days it took from Galilee to Jerusalem to get there. That's the best estimate. Let's pick up the story. Follow along with me as we take a closer look. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. Notice this. Every year. At the feast of Passover. Passover is one feast among three feasts. It's a 7-day event. 7 days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Within that, the Passover. And then first fruits would be the end of the 7 days, the new beginning of the new year of the first fruits of plants. We call it, or I would like to call it, Resurrection Sunday, even in the Old Testament. So they're in Jerusalem. 3 days to get there, many days of celebrating, and this is what happens. And they went up according to the custom. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, and they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, it is believed that everybody would go in a caravan. Can you imagine all your family, cousins, walking together 3 days? I don't know about your children, but my children love to stay with their friends or their cousins overnight. And it is believed that this was just normal on the journey, staying in Jerusalem and the journey back. It was probably not a big deal not to see your children all the time. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in a group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now, I'm not going to ask for parents here to raise their hands, but have you ever lost a child? Has a child ever been lost? Now, it's real easy to say, boy, how bad Jesus was. Oh, no, how bad those parents were. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. One day I went into Super Walmart with Jeremiah, and he was about that big. And Jeremiah was hyperactive, to say the least. And if you didn't watch him all the time in a Super Walmart, he'd be gone. Well, I went into Super Walmart. He went his way. I was looking for my stuff. And I didn't even notice him being gone until over the loudspeaker I heard these words. Would Mr. Tim Dreyer please come to customer service? There's a little boy by the name of Jeremiah Dreyer who's looking for his father. Wow! He's not with me? Oh. So I went up to customer service. He was behind the counter talking to everybody there, having the time of his life, by the way. And when I went up to him, I said, Jeremiah, are you okay? He goes, yeah, Dad. Isn't this great? Wasn't it something, the way they announced your name in the loudspeaker? Come here, boy. I mean, did he sin? No. Did I sin? No. It was real. It was life. And it happens. Parents lose children. And children sometimes lose parents. And sometimes parents do it on purpose. Ever seen the movie Joe Dirt? It's a story about that. All right, so here we are, real life, real parents, real Jesus. And they're separated. Let's pick up the story. Verse 45. And when they did not find him among relatives, they probably went to Elizabeth, checked with John the Baptist. Have you seen your cousin? No. They returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. So a day's journey, supper time comes, no Jesus, it's dark out, let's get a good night's sleep, head back to Jerusalem. Day two, a full journey. You can't start looking for Jesus until day three. And here, it's interesting, 3 days come up again in Scripture. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Imagine a 12-year-old. Now, if you here in Tulsa or Broken Arrow, lost a 12-year-old, where would you go looking for him? The arcade, the bowling alley, the mall? You probably wouldn't say, hey, our boy's lost, let's go to the church first. You probably wouldn't do that. You'd be thinking, where do 12-year-olds hang out? And Jerusalem was a huge mall. It's where everybody went to buy things and sell things. So they probably on the third day didn't first go to the temple. They probably went to all the places where they were over the last 7 days. Buying things, going here and there, looking at the scenery. And so they looked all over and finally, you might say, they go to the church. They go to the temple and boom. There he is, with all the old gray-haired guys, you might say, teachers, professors, and he's learning from them, or you could say they were learning from him. He listened to them. Isn't it wonderful that our God listens to us? And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Even at 12 years old, Jesus was aware who he was, and he had the knowledge and the wisdom to share answers. And when his parents saw him, can you imagine after 3 days losing your child? And when you finally found him, the relief. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Now think about it. Whose responsibility is it to keep track of a sixth grader or a seventh grader? The seventh grader or the parents? Of course, we know the answer. Okay, we're the adults. You can see Adam and Eve in the garden. Who told you you were naked? The woman you gave me. You did this. What have you done, Eve? The serpent you created, he tempted me. Meaning, the first thing is shame when it comes to sin. The second thing is blame. Have you ever done that? Blame the world. Blame your spouse. Blame the boss. Blame everybody for your problems except looking in the mirror. It's just our sinful nature. Mary and Joseph are no different. They're astonished that, first of all, he's in the temple. And then they had the nerve to say these words. Son, why have you treated us so? Jesus didn't sin. The parents did not sin. Life happened with a real family where Jesus was a real son. He was flesh among flesh. Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Well, of course. 49. And he said to them, why? Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house doing my father's business? This is so important. And the answer is no, they didn't know. They should have known, but they didn't. Normal parents. Verse 50, this is where we're told this. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Meaning, what's this about the father's business? Joseph is right here. He's your daddy. And what Jesus is trying to explain is, yes, I have a mom and a dad. Forgive me for saying it this way, step parents. But I'm here for the Father's business. And that trumps everything. God is more important than even family. Sometimes that's hard to swallow. Jesus is not trying to bully them or anything. He's just saying, listen, even at 12 years old, God has to be important. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Why does Luke record that? Because what Luke definitely does not want, because he's the only one who records this. Matthew, Mark, and John do not record anything from the birth of Jesus to his baptism. Only Luke does. He wants everybody to know Jesus was real. He came from a real family. And he was submissive. Like any good Jewish boy should be. This just happened in his life. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. We hear this again and again with the recording of Luke. It is believed Luke interviewed Mother Mary personally. And he records that Mary basically said, oh, let me tell you how it all ended up. I pondered it in my heart. Just like when those angels came at Christmas 12 years ago, I pondered it in my heart. Just like when Simeon and Anna made this big uproar about who this baby was, I just pondered it in my heart. As a loving mother. But this is how the story ends according to Luke. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Wouldn't that be a great New Year's resolution? That we all would say, you know, this year I'm going to be more like Jesus. Can you imagine growing up in that family with all the brothers and sisters that Jesus had? Mary and Martha saying to James, Why can't you be more like Jesus? Or the sisters. Martha, we don't know the names. Why can't you be more like Jesus? That would be a tough family to grow up in. Match and compared to Jesus all the time. Oh. But the scriptures say Jesus grew in age. Guess what? At the end of this year, every one of you will be a year older, including me. Do you realize that? Yeah. Now, what's the year going to be at the end of the year? What are you going to look like? Well, 1 year older, guaranteed. So Jesus grew in years, the Bible tells us. Stature, that's what it means, years. Then he grew in favor. What is that? Grace. And then he grew in wisdom. Imagine at the end of the year you'd say, I have grown in years, grace, and wisdom. Now, what does it mean to grow in grace or favor of the Lord? I think it means just this. You acknowledge God more. Let me say that again. You acknowledge what God has done for you more this year than even last year. If I dare explain it to you this way, in the words of Martin Luther, first article, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does it mean to grow in the grace of God, in the favor of God? What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members. When's the last time you thanked God for your ears? Your hand. Your eyes. My reason and my senses. For your ability to think and still takes care of me. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home. When's the last time you thanked God for your house? When you drive up to your house, or you walk to your apartment, you step back and say, I don't deserve it, thank you. Not only for your house, for your wife, your children, land, animals. When's the last time you thank God for your puppy dog or your kitty cat? And all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And this he does only out of fatherly love and divine grace and mercy. Without any merit or worthiness in me, I don't deserve it. For all this, it is my duty. Notice how Martin Luther wraps it up. For all of this, it is my duty to thank and praise. Serve, this year's theme, devoted to serve. Serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. What a New Year's resolution. I'm going to grow a year older. I'm going to grow in grace and acknowledge him more, and then wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Meaning, if you want to get smarter, wiser, start reading the greatest book ever given to mankind. Oh, it's on my bucket list, Pastor. Well, time to do it. Get involved in a devotion. Attend Bible study, or just pick up the Bible on a daily basis and read it. It'll bless you. Happy New Year's. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we just walked with Jesus and mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, in 1 year of his life, going to Jerusalem at age 12. And we learn that Mary and Joseph were so real, and Jesus was a real teenager, and real life happened to them. But you protected them. You made everything go as planned. And Jesus grew in age, in wisdom, and in grace. Lord, help us to do that this year. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.